The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live on this Tuesday afternoon. Welcome. If you were listening yesterday, you probably already know yesterday was a holiday, and we had the day off here at WRFD. Joy and I had the wonderful opportunity of spending some time with our great grandson. I'm not that old. I can't be old enough to have a great grandson. And I'm married to a great grandmother. Well, anyway, we got to spend time with our grandson and great grandson. And that made the day just absolutely wonderful. Glad to be back on the air today. I welcome you to the program, and here is my telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Program note, at the top of the hour, we will be joining Chip Ingram. Chip Ingram will be dropping by, well-known author, pastor, internationally known preacher, speaker, and he has a brand new book out that I think you need to know about. And then at 4:30, Lord willing, Star Parker will be joining us. Star Parker with Cure. Star has graciously agreed to be on the program at least once a month, and this will be her day today at 4:30. Well, local news, I don't know whether you saw this, heard this. Zenos, one of the larger churches in the Columbus metropolitan area, is changing their name. Now, and I know we have a lot of Zenos listeners, and I'm grateful you're there. And please don't take what I'm about to say personally, because I'm not just talking about Zenos, but I don't get this thing about we got to change our church name. Really? Yeah, we got to change our church name. It is just a fad, a trend. If we got problems, we're going to solve those problems by changing the name of the church. Well, anyway, Zenos, evidently, after several years of discussion, according to a report from OSU, of all places, they are changing their name to Dwell, D-W-E-L-L, Dwell. According to the story, Zenos Christian Fellowship is getting a name change, one that leaders hope will help the Columbus Church better communicate its purposes and values. This story goes on. The church's critics view the rebranding with skepticism. According to Xenos spokesman Keegan Hale, the church has been debating whether to change its name for several years. It decided on Dwell after meeting with a consulting firm. According to Keegan Hale, for a long time we felt that Xenos, for lack of a better term, might be antiquated and doesn't really describe who we are. And frankly, a lot of people don't like the name. It's difficult to pronounce. A lot of people don't pronounce it correctly and so on. And it's true. A whole lot of people wouldn't know how to pronounce X-E-O-N-S or what it means. And that's fine. That's their choice. And many, many, many churches have decided to change the name of their church. I don't know that it has really changed a whole lot of churches by changing the name. But anyway, it is a new trend. And, I won't say anything else. I won't go any further. But anyway, one of the larger churches in the Columbus area is Xenos. And the story doesn't say when this is going to be effective, but they will no longer be called Xenos. They will now be called Dwell, D-W-E-L-L. This is a fascinating story and tragic on several levels. Headline. Couple accused of terminating pregnancy, hiding the body of their baby. A man and a woman accused of allegedly terminating the woman's pregnancy, then hiding the baby's body in a shoebox, pleaded not guilty. Well, here's the story. This is a Licking County story. According to Licking County prosecuting attorney William Hayes, on September 18, 2019, they took, the woman took the abortion pill. She and, I don't think that they're married, but they ordered it from India with the intention to, quote, induce labor and terminate the pregnancy. Isn't that legal in the state of Ohio? And I honestly don't understand what made this illegal. It's tragic. It's horrible. An innocent baby died. But is it because they got the pill from India? They didn't go get it from their local doctor? Anyway, the woman gave birth to a male child in the bathroom of the apartment she shares with a man. Quote, at no time did either one of them ever call 911 or seek emergency medical treatment for the child. Sadly, that happens at abortion clinics all the time. So if this couple had gone to an abortion clinic, got the pill, taken the pill, and the baby was aborted and they let it die at the abortion clinic, it would have been legal. A Licking County grand jury returned the indictments for both of them on February 5th. They were both arrested without incident on February 8th. Both are being held on a $150,000 cash bond. Anybody else see the incredible inconsistency of the way our legal system deals with pregnancy, abortion, the termination of a pregnancy? Just unbelievably inconsistent and hypocritical. Well, I hope and pray that out of this tragedy, there will be enough press coverage that people will see the incredible hypocrisy of Planned Parenthood, the whole pro-choice, pro-abortion industry. I hope and pray that this will bring attention to the fact that it's almost impossible to be consistent if you're pro-abortion. It is almost impossible. All right, We're going to take a quick break and update when we come back on a case out of Shawnee State University. I brought this case to your attention several months ago. A U.S. judge has made a decision, and it's not good news. But I'll give you the latest on that when we return.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Do you remember the case of a Professor Nicholas Merriweather down at Shawnee State University? Some of you may remember. He was punished by Shawnee State University because he refused to call students by their preferred gender, the preferred pronoun, which could be, and I'm not making this up and I'm not exaggerating, which could be one of possibly 100 different pronouns that a person could choose as their preferred pronoun. Well, Shawnee State University issued a policy statement to all faculty and staff that said you must call your students by their preferred pronoun. If it's a he and he wants to be called she, he had to be called she, or you get the idea. Well, Professor Merriweather said, I can't do that. I have religious convictions about gender and so forth, and I am going to call them by the gender of their birth, their biologic gender. Well, Shawnee State punished him, and he went to court and said, whoa, this is freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of speech for me. My university is forcing me to use words, terms, connotations that I find offensive and in direct violation of my religious convictions. Well, a federal judge has thrown the case out. Yeah, the Alliance Defending Freedom had come to the assistance of Nicholas Merriweather. Here is a story from the Associated Press today. A judge has dismissed a professor's lawsuit against a small public university in Ohio that rebuked him for not addressing a transgender student using the student's preferred gender terms. Nicholas Merriweather's federal lawsuit alleged that Shawnee State University officials violated his rights by compelling him to speak in a way that contradicts his Christian beliefs. The school contended such language was part of his job responsibilities, not speech protected by the First Amendment. You imagine part of your job responsibilities was to call a he a she or a she a he or whatever. Well, a federal judge agreed that the manner in which Merriweather addressed the student was not protected under the First Amendment. So that case has been thrown out, and it is we'll have to see now how Professor Merriweather handles it. Is he going to abide by the rules and regulations of the school? Is he going to quit? Don't know. But anyway, the breaking news is that the lawsuit by the professor has been thrown out by a federal judge. And then here is an update. Do you remember a law passed in California called Proposition 47? Yeah. It was called the Safe Neighborhoods and Schools Act. Now, this was introduced... This was proposed by the liberal left in California. What is the rule of thumb? If the liberal left proposes legislation, look for the name and understand that the result of the bill will be exactly the opposite of the name. Now, this was this insane legislation that reduced the amount of money that was involved before a person could be charged with a crime as far as theft, shoplifting, and so forth. If I remember right, it was, I think it was like $950. If you stole from a store, shoplifted from a store, a jewelry store, Target, Meijer, whatever, if you stole less than $950, you wouldn't be charged with a crime. Now, the purpose of this legislation was to get, quote, nonviolent offenders out of jail. And, quote, to achieve this goal, the state decriminalized a number of lesser offenses, including retail theft. Guess what? This is such a shock. I can't believe that this actually happened. This bill aimed to reduce crime has increased crime. Quote, to the great surprise of the government in California, thieves began taking advantage of this new law. California has now recorded multiple years of steadily increasing organized robbery. These plots are commonly known as mass grab and dash thefts. And the story goes on and says particularly young people get together, they get a mob, they break the windows, they run in, and they make sure that none of them steal more than $950 worth of merchandise. So a group of 10 young people can break into a store and they can steal thousands of dollars worth of stuff. But if each individual does not steal more than $950, they won't even be charged. And surprise, 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 theft is exploding in California. Who would have thunk it? Police departments across the state of California are writing to their elected representatives. For instance, Lieutenant Mark Donaldson of the Vacaville Police Department said, it's a boldness like we're seeing never before, and just a disregard for fellow human beings. He went on to explain that these crimes have evolved into more than just shoplifting. It's organized retail theft, and he says it's happening all across the state. In fact, in many cases, these bandits, these shoplifters, go into a store, steal $900. They make sure. In fact, sometimes they even take calculators, adding machines with them, so they make sure that the value of the property is not more than $900. And they go right around the corner, and they sell it. And then they go another block, and they do the same thing. This is happening all over the state of California. Yeah. That's the Safe Neighborhoods and Schools Act, making neighborhoods and schools less safe. Thank you, liberal left. All right, we'll be back.